You're listening to The Hour of the Time. I'm Pooh.
And I'm William Cooper.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, my dear.
You're welcome.
Good night.
Good night.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're so busy around here that I'll tell you, it's pretty hard to do a broadcast every night and do everything else that we're doing right at the present time. Trying to get this book ready. The book is in typeset, as you all know. The illustrations are being done by Mike and I here at the Veritas offices. We're preparing all of the illustrations, which have to be out of here and back in the typesetter's hands by Friday. And it's a tremendous job. I thought it was going to be easy. It's not easy, believe me. And I tried to, Major Michelle Moore, I tried to call you today, and I kept getting a notice from the telephone company that your phone has been disconnected or is no longer in service. So after this broadcast, I would like for you to call me at home and tell me what your new number is or what's going on with the phone company. Because I don't like not being able to get in touch with you at this crucial period of time, or any other time for that matter. So please do that at the end of this broadcast. Call me. Thank you very much. I want to remind everybody that there's still room for people who want to attend the Area 51 Groom Lake excursion. It will be held on July 4th, 5th, 6th, and 7th. With everybody arriving sometime during the morning or early afternoon on the 4th. The first lecture will begin the afternoon of the 4th. And we'll be holding sky watches nightly. We'll be taking field trips to some very interesting places in the area. And hopefully we'll see some of this unbelievable technology that does strange things in the skies. If we don't be disappointed, because sometimes you goes and you sees, and sometimes you goes and you don't sees. And that's just the luck of the draw. I never know, and neither does anybody else, what's going to happen, because unfortunately they don't give us their flight schedule or any other kind of schedule. They just do what they have scheduled and leave the rest of us to chance. Also, Pat Travis's fantastic cooking. Those of you who paid for meals will get two meals a day, breakfast and supper. If you want lunch, you have to pay for that yourself. But usually you're pretty busy or sleeping or something, because I'm going to keep you running and busy and learning and doing things every single moment that you're awake. And you're going to have a great time. You're going to learn a lot of things. You're going to meet some wonderful people. So make sure that you get your money in right away. If you're not sure, if you absolutely have to have a bed to sleep in and you don't want to camp out or bring an RV or a camper, make sure you call me at work. And this is really a pet peeve of mine. You people who live on the East Coast, you think you're the only ones in the world and everybody goes by your time. And I got to tell you, it ain't so. I keep telling you, I do this broadcast every night late. I'm a late type person. I usually work till 2 or 3 in the morning. I'm usually not in the office till around 10 or 10:30. sometime between 10 and 11, let's put it that way, but usually by 10 or 10:30. And when I get there, I find all of these messages on my machine from people who called me at 5 o'clock that morning, because it's 8 o'clock in New York, or in North Carolina, or in Florida. Wake up, people. The world is round, and every 15 degrees of longitude, the time changes, guys, okay? So let's, get that through your thick heads. If you call me at 5 o'clock in the morning here, I'm not going to be there. I'm not going to answer today, tomorrow, yesterday, or 6 years from now. You're beating a dead horse. And a lot of you call, don't even leave a message. But it always tells me, on my voicemail system, tells me exactly what time you called. And it's like you all get up on the East Coast or in Central Time, and while you're getting ready for work, you decide to call old Bill out here in Arizona. Old Bill ain't up yet. Old Bill ain't in the office yet. Okay? You got to call me when I'm there. I won't go to bed, folks, until just before you're getting up, because that's when I do my best work, is when I'm all alone and nobody's bothering me and nobody's wants anything and nobody's calling. I get to get things done, and that's why I stay up late at night. Okay, that's out of the way. So for those of you who want to know, if you really have to have a bed and you want to know if there are any beds left, and there are some left, I don't remember exactly how many, but there's not many, I got to tell you that. There are a lot of people coming who are going to camp out who don't want to spend the extra money for a bed and don't want to spend extra money for food. And there are people who have already paid for room and board and all the lectures and everything, but I believe that there are 2, 3, maybe 4 beds left. So if you'll call me after 10:30 and make sure, then we can possibly get you a bed. I can't guarantee it, though. And if you're not the first one that calls and gets in touch with me, you may not get one. But anyway, you can camp out for free. You can bring your camper, you can bring your RV, or you can bring a sleeping bag and a tent, or whatever you want to do, folks. And we'll have a lot of fun. For, let me see here. I think I got it here somewhere. No, I guess I don't. I don't have the prices with me. So, if you want to know the prices, call me tomorrow about that also, and I'll get it for you. Our convention is coming up in August. That's the yearly CAGI and Intelligence Service Convention. This year is really going to be a doozy. I don't know where it's going to be held yet, but this is probably going to be the best conference we've ever had. Last year, there would have been over 200 people, except the Oklahoma City bombing occurred right before the conference. And everybody got scared, you poor little fellers. Only the bravest of the brave showed up, and it was great. This year is going to be even better. I don't anticipate anything happening, but if it does, come anyway. Nobody's going to bother you. And I don't know what you guys are afraid of. I really don't. It just amazes me how big you talk and how little mincing baby steps you walk, if that's the correct terminology. Some of you got big eggs in your baskets, and you're all right in my book. Don't go away. I'll be right back, and we'll continue where we left off on Friday night. Endless day. Well, I think I'm going to be doing something that I've wanted to do for quite some time. So listen carefully, folks. I want you to sit down and I want you to write me a letter and tell me what this song means. And it doesn't mean what you think it means. Believe me, there's an esoteric message there. That's what I want to hear. Person who writes the best paper on what that song means will have their paper read on the air. And we'll get a free copy of Behold a Pale Horse. Sorry I can't give Oklahoma City Day One away, folks. I can't do that. It costs too much money. It's 800 pages. It's 300 pages more than Behold a Pale Horse. It's costing us a fortune to print. And we just can't give that book away. But I'll give you a free copy of Behold a Pale Horse to the person who writes the best paper on the meaning of that song that you just heard, entitled The Rose. So get busy. Write it. Send it in. I'll read it on the air. The best one will be read on the air. Maybe I'll read the best two on the air. But the best one gets a free copy of Behold a Pale Horse. And maybe we'll all learn something from it. I've been studying this for years, and it never ceases to amaze me how much I learn from somebody who has just started and picks up something that I never noticed along the way. So we can all learn from each other. Continuing from Friday night, tonight's broadcast is about the teachings of the ancient order, the Rosy Cruci, what you may know as Rosicrucianism, or the Rose and Cross, or the AMORC. They will all tell you that they're not related and that they're all ripping each other off, but it's all the same mystery religion. They're all teaching the same thing. And at the highest levels, ladies and gentlemen, they all belong to the same club, the club of the worldwide brotherhood of man, the great socialist institution known as the Illuminati. They want to make a world utopia. Good luck. They're the biggest bunch of thieves that ever lived. And as you learned Friday night, we'll learn again tonight, they're also the biggest bunch of lying bullshit artists that ever had the guts to get out of bed and tell anybody this stuff. It amazes me. And there's always somebody out there who's willing to fall for it. Hook, line, and sinker. When P.T. Barnum said there's a sucker born every minute, by golly, those were words of wisdom, and you better listen to that man. He made a fortune just because he understood that one that one truth. The evolution of man according to the Mystery Society of the Rosen Cross. Mystery School is the correct term. They believe that in the evolution of man and the growth of the soul, we may find a more sensible account of the character of dreams than we ever could in what is known as theosophy, which is just another branch of this whole mystery religion baloney. They don't differ very much, ladies and gentlemen. When they do, you'll usually find that that difference comes together somewhere else. They believe that during sleep, what they call the desire body does not fully withdraw from what they refer to as the vital body, but remains connected to it. The vehicle for sense perception and memory, they say, has its axis askew, and the memory is confused. They believe that sleep is just that, a withdrawal of the higher vehicles from the dense body, which then gets a rest and a chance to rebuild itself, while these other entities, if you will, are out playing somewhere in the ether. Death, they believe, is something else again. Here, the higher vehicles leave the dense body more completely, though for a while they remain connected by what is known as the silver cord. One end of the silver cord is supposed to be fastened to the heart by means of the, quote, seed atom, end quote. This stuff is so absolutely ridiculous, folks, that sometimes I just, you know, I feel ridiculous. I feel stupid even imparting it to you. But if you don't understand the people that are manipulating you and destroying this wonderful country, then you won't be able to deal with them. If you don't understand their lies, you might fall for them. You might fall in a hook, line, and sinker and get mounted above somebody's mantle, the one that didn't get away. They believe that this cord is not snapped until the panorama of the past life contained in the vital body has been reviewed and lessons are learned. They believe that at death, the dense body at once loses weight because not the soul, but the vital body has left. Now, in his vital body, according to these people, the man still has all his desires, but he lacks the organ to satisfy them. This causes the sufferings of, quote, purgatory, end quote. A miser may hover over his bonds and stocks, his money, and his invisible desire body trying to hang on to them, but his relatives go right through him and take them away. He may even hear them mock the old tightwad. They believe that a drunkard may penetrate the dense body of a drinker in a tavern, but he lacks a stomach and the organs of taste, therefore can but very slightly satisfy his craving for drink, and thus while in this body can destroy the real owner. And through suffering, the departed person finally learns to despise and relinquish the vices of his former days on earth, and then he becomes ready to go to heaven. Oh, my goodness. However, they believe that there's not just one heaven, but three heavens. Just as there were three regions of the desire world, purgatory. In the first heaven, located in the three highest regions of the desire world, the results of the soul's sufferings are incorporated in the seed atom of the desire body, thus imparting to it the quality of right feeling, which acts as an impulse to good and a deterrent from evil in the future. They believe that at last the man or the woman, the ego, the threefold spirit, enters the second heaven. He is clad in the sheath of mind, which contains the three seed atoms, the quintessence of the three discarded vehicles. Upon arrival in the second heaven follows the great silence, and after this period of wonder, the awakening. The spirit is now in its home world. Here, they believe, it hears the music of the spheres and learns to do many-sided work and prepares for the next life. Before reincarnation, however, the spirit must first dwell in the third heaven, the higher region of the world of thought. And all of this is absolute baloney. There is no proof for any of it. It doesn't even pass a common sense test. And there are so many people who have had so-called near-death experiences who have heard the music of the spheres without going through all this gobbledygook. And they're telling the truth, folks. Whatever it is that happens to them, they hear this beautiful music. And I have to tell you, I've experienced this myself when I lost my leg. And without going through all of these things that they say is absolutely necessary for you to hear this so-called music of the spheres. The truth is that nobody really knows what happens in these near-death experiences. Nobody knows if you're really dead or if this is a defense of the mind that sort of takes care of you and covers up the pain, or if you're really dead and you really go somewhere. None of it is known. Anybody who asserts that it means anything other than what they can recount that they felt and heard and it seemed real to them is pulling your leg, because they don't know. They're making assumptions. And I would never deign to do that. And I don't see how anybody else can do it either. But it puts to shame all of this gobbledygook that these people teach. It just, in fact, isn't true. There's no scientific basis for it. There isn't even any philosophical basis for it. No one has ever come back from being dead and told anybody what they saw or what they heard or what they felt or what happened. And I'm not talking about being unconscious, your heart stops for 15 minutes on the operating room table and you come back and you say you felt and saw all these things. I've experienced that, and I can tell you right now, I don't anymore know what happened to me and what was really going on than anybody else or than the man in the moon. And so that's the truth of that. These people are so caught up in this. And I'll tell you exactly where it comes from. Back in the early 1800s or the 1700s, this would have sounded very scientific and very good to a lot of people. But today, when we have the educations available to us that we do have, when we are able to prove or disprove certain things, and when we know, ladies and gentlemen, a lot of things that they say in these religions that exist really do not exist, and things that happen really do not happen. It's very easy to just throw this out with the bathwater. But the problem with throwing it out is there are so many people who absolutely 100% believe in this. And you find them all around you. You'd be amazed at how many people you know who believe this stuff. If you throw it out, you can't deal with them intelligently. You have to understand it in order to defend yourself from it and defend yourself from the onslaught of those who would try to convert you into believing it. And if you fall into this, folks, you're falling into the deception that says man needs to be totally controlled by some benevolent hierarchy of learned wise men or some benevolent dictatorship or some fascist regime or our socialist welfare system, and you'll see how you get there from this. There's a movie that's out now called Powder. Annie and I just watched it yesterday. There was such a to-do over this movie, Powder, that we decided to watch it. And it teaches exactly what I am talking to you about tonight, ladies and gentlemen. It teaches you exactly that. It also tries to put a pseudo-scientific tack onto it by bringing Albert Einstein into the picture and claiming that when you die, you don't die, you just become pure energy and you go reunite with God. And this guy Powder is supposed to be the ultimate evolution of humankind. and you've got to see the story to understand it, but when he was in the womb and close to being born, his mother was struck by lightning, and he became, so to speak, a human, not really human, but lightning incarnate. If you really want to know the truth, you see, I've been trying to duck this issue because I didn't want to say it on the air. But in that movie, Powder, what you're seeing is the modern description of an incarnation of God in the flesh, another Jesus. And most people will see that movie and never connect with that. That's what it's trying to tell you. And that ultimately, the end of the evolutionary road that human beings are traveling is that they're going to be just like powder, and we're going to solve all of our problems. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's more gobbledygook bullshit. It's a movie. It's fiction. It is a lie. There's some parts of it that are very interesting and maybe even scientifically sound, but the whole premise of the movie just begs for somebody to take control of all of the rest of us and well, go see the movie and put together all that you've heard on this broadcast about the mystery religion, the teachings of the hidden religions of ancient Babylon, and the humanist concept that man himself is God. And if you belong to the Mormon Church and some of these others that teach you that you're actually going to become God, you're gonna see in that movie the promise of what your preachers have been telling you that you're going to become. But I'm going to tell you right now, it's never going to happen to you. I wish you luck. But that's, you know, that's just the reality of the situation. If any of you do become God, I want you, the first thing you do is sit down, make a new universe, make a world where there aren't all these idiots there, and put me on it, okay? And since I know that you're not going to become a God and you're not going to make a universe, I'm never going to get my own world. But, you know, prove me wrong. I saw the movie where Shirley MacLaine was running on the beach and she had this UFO experience that her guide had taught her all these weird things, and she's running along the beach and she's thrusting up her arms into the air and she's yelling, "I'm God! I'm God!" I wonder if she still feels that way as she looks into the mirror tomorrow morning when she gets out of bed. And I wonder if she's still going to feel that way when she has to pay all her bills and when she realizes that she may have to make another movie before she dies in order to, in order to pay for the high style of living that she enjoys. And if she's God, I wonder how she's going to get out of dying and wrinkling up and shriveling and all of that kind of stuff. And if she's really God, I wonder if she's going to take up my challenge and come back after she's dead as God and talk to me. Somehow I kind of doubt it. And I'm not picking on Shirley MacLaine. I think she's a wonderful woman, made some wonderful movies, but I think she's tremendously misled, as are so many other people. Escaping. You know, you're only here, folks, one time. I don't care what they teach you about reincarnation or anything else. You hear one time that you're ever going to remember. And if you do come back, you're not going to remember ever being here before. Okay? Why don't you get down to the business of living life and enjoy it and do good and stop trying to escape from the inevitable? You're here. You've got to live it. You can't get away from it. It must be done. Life is for the living. There is no secret hidden meaning. It's for living. And so many of you try to get out of living your life. You could make it wonderful for you and for everyone else. Do some good. Do some wonderful things. Make your mark upon this world, upon history. Be remembered by your children and grandchildren. If you ever did come back, if reincarnation was real, they're not going to know you. They're not going to remember anything, and you're not either. So, well, don't go away. I'll be back and we'll continue this little jaunt, through Never Never Land, because that's what it really is.
You want to know how I keep this tired ass old body in shape? I'll tell you how.
You see? You see what I mean? Ladies and gentlemen, you know how I keep this tired old body in shape, she says. If you haven't seen that movie, The Rose, that's another. It's nothing she can't do on a stage. People love her, go crazy over her. She's got all the money in the world. But what is she doing? She's looking for some hidden meaning in life. By going from man to man and blowing everything she's got and stuffing so much powder up her nose. Until ultimately, her life lays in ruins around her. And you know what she discovers finally? Nothing. Nothing. Because like so many of you out there listening, and so many other people in the world, she never understood that everything that she's looking for was in her before she ever started. It's all there. For all of you. Right now. And the farther away you look for whatever it is that you need, the longer it's going to take for you to find it, and some of you will never find it at all. If you just stop and look inside, all the answers are there. All of them. You know why you do things. You know what makes you what you are. You know what you want and what you don't want. You know what makes you angry and what doesn't make you angry. You say you're looking for yourself. What you're really doing is running away from yourself, hoping that out there somewhere you will find something that will hide yourself from you. And the only real answer, the only way to deal with reality and live this life, and the only way to be happy is to reach inside, grab yourself, hold on for dear life, and live. And do good things for yourself and for other people. You will be amazed how quickly all that grass on the other side of the fence turns brown.
My kiss is a dream of
Ladies and gentlemen, the hour of the time is brought to you by Swiss America Trading. And boy, I just got my copy of the new newsletter in the newsletter. Well, it is news later, by golly. And the later it gets, the more news there's going to be later. I just got my copy of the new newsletter from Swiss America Trading in the mail today. And it's great. Craig Smith wrote an article about the five greatest illusions in America today. And I thought about reading it on the air, but if I do, I'll be doing Swiss America Trading a great disservice because you really need to call them and talk to them and ask for your own copy so they can send it to you. And so at the same time, you can find out how you can get your hands on some real money, gold and silver, in any form that you wish, or platinum for that matter, or rhodium, or any, I don't care what you want. If it's metal, they can get it for you. If they don't have it in stock, they'll get it for you, whatever you want, in whatever form that you want. Now remember, I am not advising you to buy precious metals as an investment, hoping that you're going to make an increase on your money and make any kind of killing whatsoever. In fact, I would tell you to, you know, if you like gambling, go to Las Vegas. Give it to them. But while you're driving in, you know, coming down off those mountains, I advise you to take a real good look at the size of those hotels and that big city and all those lights. And ask yourself, who pays the bills? Who built those hotels? Where did the money come from? Came out of your pocket. You see, if there were really any winners in Las Vegas, Las Vegas would not exist. Do you ever think of that? Do you know that when they built the Luxor Hotel, they paid for it with cash? They didn't get any loans. They didn't write any checks. They paid cash for the Luxor Hotel. Every penny of it. Cash. You know where it came from? It came out of your pockets if you go to Las Vegas. There are no winners in Las Vegas. If there were, those hotels, those casinos, those slot machines, those big gala, wonderful shows, the strip, all those magnificent millions and millions of lights would not exist. So when I tell you to buy gold or silver, I tell you to do it because it's the only constitutional lawful money of the account of the United States of America. And eventually when this paper nightmare comes tumbling down, if you don't have some real money, you're going to be in deep trouble. It will protect what you have now. That's why. So call Swiss America Trading. Ask for your copy of the free newsletter. It's a doozy. It's a real good one, just like always. And while you're at it, thank them for sponsoring the Hour of the Time and ask them how you can get your hands on some real money, not that phony stuff you've got in your pocket. If you don't believe it's phony, you go get yourself a legal dictionary, a law dictionary, and look up the definition of all those words that are written on that phony counterfeit stuff that you carry in your pocket, and you'll find out that somebody's been lying to you big time. 1-800-289-2646. 1-800-289-2646. Ask for Frank. If Frank's not around, ask, talk to anybody. They're all pretty good people. But remember, I only back my guarantee if you do business with Swiss America Trading, folks. And I mean that. 1-800-289-2646.
Two angels heard me cry. This is your faith hereafter. Gold is the sun, as you
You know, folks, I know so many people who think they're free. And the minute I really start talking to them, I realize that these people are enslaved. They're not going to fight against anything. They're not going to risk anything. And if the New World Order were to come in tomorrow and put chains on their ankles, they would submit without a whimper. You know why? Because they're tied to what they own. They're tied to this material world. They're not truly free, spiritual people. Look around at everything that you own, everything that you have. And I'm going to tell you something. This is really a key. This will be one of the things that if you really learn this right now, if you really learn it right now, it'll be the most important thing you've learned in quite a few years. Look around at everything that you own, all the things that make you comfortable, all of the big giant ice boxes, refrigerators full of food, and the two cars in your garage, and the, I don't know, some of you may have sports cars that you're in love with, or four-wheel drive vehicles, or RVs, or, you know, camping trailers, or any of that stuff, or just a beautiful home with a big yard and all that kind of stuff, and you got your favorite this and your favorite that and all that kind of stuff. Let me tell you something right now. You listen to me very carefully because this is the truth, and I know you've never thought of it. If you can't walk away from all of it right this moment and not feel any pangs about it, not miss it, not even turn around and look at it, not even care. If you can't do that, you are not free. You never will be free. Because that's how you are controlled. Through the debt that you have to go into to have the things that you must be slave to. And that's how they're going to trap you. That's how they're trapping so many people now with this promise of security. Give us your guns. We'll take away the crime. We'll make you secure. Do this, do that. Allow us to do this. Give us this. Take this ID card. Don't use cash. Use this credit card. Pay us 28% interest on everything you buy or everything, you know, all year. Pay us an additional $50 just to have the card. And we'll make sure that you don't have any cash so nobody can steal it from you. They're stealing it from you. I love it. It's the truth, folks. It's the honest to God's truth. If you cannot walk away now from everything that you own in this whole world and not even look back and not feel bad about it and not miss it, you are not free. You will never be free. You are already owned by the New World Order, and you can spout and jump up and down and claim that you're going to do this and you're going to do that. And you're not going to allow this, and you're not going to allow that. You're lying to yourself. You're lying to everybody else. You're lying to your neighbors and your family, and you're lying to me. Get right with the world. You see, you can walk away from anything material in this world. And you can always either come back to it, or you can get it again, or you can get something better, or you can do without it and still live a wonderful life, because what really means everything in life has nothing to do with a $200,000 home, or a $1,500 sofa, or a $30,000 automobile, or whether or not you have a swimming pool in your backyard. And that's the truth. None of those things amount to a hill of beans at all. And look around at those that you believe love you and ask yourself if they would still be with you if you did not have any of the things that you have now. And if the answer is no, they don't love you, never did. They love what you give them. I hope you're listening to me. I sincerely hope you're listening to me. Because if you really want to be free, if you really want to live, if you really want to be, you have to cut it all loose. I'm not telling you to give it all away. I'm just telling you, if you had to, right now, you must be able to walk away from it and not even miss it. And if you can't, you're trapped in your own chains. And you are a slave and will always be one. Now, these people believe that we spend all our lives, or all eternity, going in and out, dipping in and out of the physical material world. We choose what body we're going to go into. We choose our parents because we're going to learn some mystical lesson from them in our childhood, which is going to cause us to be a certain way in our adulthood, which is going to cause us to learn even more lessons about how we need to perfect our soul so that in our next reincarnation, our next life, our next dip into matter, after we go up through the three heavens, you know, and hear the music of the spheres and go into the silent period and then exist as pure thought, and then we look around and we choose some parents over here, some parents over there, we dip down and we can become their baby and you know, maybe they didn't want a baby, so they murder us, and we learn something from that. makes you want to scream, doesn't it? Well, if you're a real human being and you really know how to think, yes, it does make you want to scream. It's the most ridiculous bunch of gobbledygook there that ever has been. So, why should the human spirit experience another dip into matter at all? Well, they believe because the purpose of life is not pleasure, but experience, which is knowledge of the effects which follows acts. In other words, karma. Everything is connected. If you move your little toe right now all across this country, if everybody in the world listening to this broadcast right now moves their little toe in concert with each other right now, it will cause something to happen somewhere which we don't even understand. That's what they believe. And I believe that all across the world when I say that, people were wiggling their little toe and nothing has happened anywhere, except a lot of people got a kick out of it. And maybe squeezed a couple of bunions and are now taking off their shoes. But it's only because you moved your toe. You see, they believe that if you didn't feel the pain when you moved your little toe and squished your bunion against your shoe, your bunion might really be severely damaged and rubbed right off of your foot. You might bleed to death without knowing it. But see, your experience of moving your toe and feeling that bunion hurt teaches you to be more careful next time. Hey, folks, I'm talking pre-kindergarten here. But see, it takes these folks a whole bunch of lifetimes to learn this stuff. It would take too long to tell you about what they believe of the preparations for rebirth. But suffice it to say that each rebirth, about every 1,000 years, according to them, begins with the birth of the dense body. That the vital body is formed within this in the seventh year. So you're not even really a human being until after you've lived for 7 years. That the desire body is formed at the time of puberty. And the mind is not completed until the 21st year. And that's why you can't sign contracts until you're 21. Because you don't have a mind. Ay, chihuahua. As the etheric region extends beyond the atmosphere of our dense earth, and there is no etheric region, folks, and there is no ether. The desire world extends out into space further than the etheric region, and the world of thought further into interplanetary space than either of the others. So also the seven worlds and cosmic planes are not one above another in space, but the seven cosmic planes interpenetrate each other, and all the seven worlds Seven worlds. So you see, they made all this up back when they didn't know there were nine planets, ladies and gentlemen. That's why there's only seven worlds. They are states of spirit matter permeating one another so that God and the other great beings are not far away in space. They talk about other great beings. Soon you'll find out that they believe that there's a whole bunch of other gods, too. In fact, each solar system or galaxy has its own set of gods, plural. They pervade every part of their own realms and realms of greater density than their own. And in many of their writings, they quote the Apostle Paul at this point, who was a member of the mysteries. It's very clear. He talks about the Christ within, just like these people do. Quote, in him we live and move and have our being, end quote. The great being called God proceeds from the root of existence. He is the absolute, but positively not Christ. This threefold supreme being exists as power, the word, and motion. And from this threefold supreme being proceed the seven great logoi. In the highest world of the seventh cosmic plane dwell the God of our solar system and the gods, plural, of all other solar systems in the universe. These three great beings are also threefold in manifestation. Their three aspects are will, wisdom, and activity. Remember I told you that's the triangle. Thought, desire, action, will, wisdom, activity, same thing. With the aid of diagrams, they call it pictures of things seen in clairvoyant state, they are told of the evolution of the earth and its denizens, and with all of this agrees an occult analysis of Genesis. Remember I told you that the Bible contains an esoteric message, a hidden message? That's what they're talking about. In every period of evolution, they believe there are those who fall behind. They're known as the stragglers. Been watching Star Trek lately? The Klingons won't let go. Thus, the lower monkeys, instead of being the progenitors of the higher species, are stragglers, Klingons, occupying those degenerate specimens of what was once the human form. They believe that instead of man having ascended from the anthropoids, the reverse is true. These have degenerated from man. The mosses, likewise, are the lowest degeneration of the plant kingdom. Material science, dealing only with the form, has thus misled itself and drawn erroneous conclusions in this matter. Well, that is so strange, you see, because as I look at history, I see human beings becoming more abundant, more numerous, and monkeys becoming extinct. What a bunch of bullshit these people teach. And how many of you have fallen into this crap? You're up to your neck. 2 more inches, you're going to drown. If you're short, you may be drowning already. My gosh. How stupid the human race really is in a majority of its beings. I'm not talking ignorant here, folks. I'm talking stupid. Listen to this. They believe, folks, that we did not ascend from the murk and mire of some distant ocean, although that's what they began touting. They believe that the monkeys and the lower animals fell from the grace of humanity and are stragglers occupying the most degenerate specimens of what was once the human form. They believe that instead of man having ascended from the anthropoids have degenerated from man. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, This is building a case for the inferiority of races which do not belong to their race. If you're a black man, you have degenerated from the pure essence of the race. You are a throwback, a Klingon, according to these people. Same with Orientals and Native Americans, Hispanics. Oh, boy. I just can't stand it, folks. I'm going to quit right here because I can't go on. It is too absolutely, incredibly stupid. And some of the people whom you have elected to hold high office believe in this crap. Some of your relatives believe in it. Some of your friends believe in it. Some of the people you would never dream in your whole life would believe in this stuff, believe in it, and belong to these secret societies and secret orders, and practice this stuff in temples without windows. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, that according to these mystery teachings, April the 19th is the first day of the preparation? And carrying out of the sacrifice for the pleasing of the gods in order to ensure a fruitful year. Good night. God bless you all. Remember, if you see a monkey in your backyard, don't hurt him. It's probably your kid brother. Who has degenerated since last night.
It's the tree.